That topic is on adaptive resistance. My question to you was, if isokinetic is constant movement, variable force, how can the machine be adapting to them? Because no matter what they do, the machine actually moves at the same pace. It doesn't make any sense. How can we call this adaptive resistance?
I'm doing my set, let's say, of chest press. I stand up and I walk away. The machine still is faithfully executing the reps and sets and travel time and everything else that it had been programmed to do. It doesn't care if I'm even there. It just moves and nothing I can do to stop it. It's completely ambivalent to my presence.
When I met you at a Paleo FX conference and I tried the machine and somewhere online there's a video of my eyes all red, I was like, oh, wait a second. So the machine is constantly adapting. When you let off, it lets off. When you push, it pushes.
Imagine a thermos. It keeps the hot stuff hot, keeps the cold stuff cold. How does it know? There's no algorithm, there's no computer chips, it's just a cylinder of metal. You could call it an adaptive temperature technology.
It's the balance there that, because of the fact that it's isokinetic, it doesn't adapt. That's the same exact reason that the exercise itself is adaptive.
But the machine provides adaptive resistance. It's the resistance that's adaptive. That's why we have lines go up and down on the screen. A barbell is what doesn't adapt. The resistance is the same up and down. The machine, purposely, crucially, does not adapt to the user. It's just inexorable. It cannot be stopped, cannot be altered, which allows it to provide the resistance that then is suited for every person, every time, no matter what.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back, Jim Keen. It's been way too long.
It's been a month of Sundays, man. I'm back.
Yeah, man.
We did
a whole bunch of episodes with some functional medicine doctors that are great clients of ours, which has been fun. But we took this long detour, longer than I expected, because we had some stuff go off about PCOS and endometriosis.
You went kind of semi-viral.
Kind of viral, yeah.
A few million views.
It's wild.
Or whatever the...
Yeah, it turns out that doesn't mean anything, but it's cool.
Yeah, I got internet points,
yeah,
bro.
Exactly.
So you get to call on your parents. So you could say things are picking up pretty well.
Yeah, things are going great.
Things are going well at the new job.
But we took this detour from strength, and in the interim, lots of stuff has come up. And so I'm so excited for the episodes we're about to record. And we're going to kick it off selfishly with an episode on a topic that you're going to educate me on. Well, you've already educated me on this. For those listening, I had called Jim like a few months ago. I'm like, hey, I don't understand. This doesn't make sense to me.
We might have to change everything.
And Jim was like, you know, this has come up quite a few times in the last decade or so. And so that topic is on adaptive resistance. So let me tee it up this way. My question to you was, if isokinetic, which you've explained before, is constant movement, variable force, how can the machine be adapting to them? Because no matter what they do, the machine actually moves at the same pace. It doesn't make any sense. How can we call this adaptive resistance?
We have to change the whole thing. And it's a great question. In the early days over at ARX, we had the same conversation when we thought, like, it's like late night thoughts when you're kind of loopy and you're like, wait a minute, I'm doing my set, let's say, of chest press. I stand up and I walk away. The machine still is faithfully executing the reps and sets and travel time and everything else that it had been programmed to do. So it's not really adapting to me. It doesn't care if I'm even there. It just moves and nothing I can do to stop it. And it's completely ambivalent to my presence. So how can we call this adaptive? This machine doesn't adapt to anything. And at a trade show, even at several trade shows, we had people asking us questions like, so there's like a bunch of little sensors in there that moment by moment sense the force and then produce exactly the opposite force as it moves. And there's an algorithm that senses. So they assumed it's the God of the Gaps sort of argument, but with technology, it's like there must be some sort of algorithm and special.
Or a little gnome or something.
There's the gnomes. The gnomes, the Keebler elves in this economy, they had to get a second job. They live in our motors behind the shields. So I would have to dispel that notion and say, no, actually it's dumber than that. It just moves. There's 2 horsepower motor and that's it. Well, so you said it was adaptive though. And
because ARX, that's what the name stands for, right?
It was adaptive resistance exercise.
Right.
And so there was talk like, do we need to change our name? Do we need to change the name of the company?
Because not to stop you there, but I just to double down on this for those listening, when I met you at a Paleo FX conference 100 years ago, and I tried the machine, and somewhere online there's a video of my eyes all red.
There is. Yeah. I got you right after the third movement. You know?
Yeah.
I was like, so how was that? Like all in your face when you're...
I can't remember.
It was good.
You did a no pause set for me.
Yeah, 2 minutes.
Yep.
No pause.
And I was probably 120 pounds soaking wet at the time.
With change in your pockets.
That's right. And so then I remembered, not only was it like mind-blowing and revolutionary, but up until even a year or two ago, until I really got into the mechanics of the hardware, because we started developing our own machine, and I was alongside you in learning in that process as you helped us do that, I was like, oh, wait a second. When people would use language, like myself, our team members, marketing team, or when I was putting my book together, and it's like, oh, some of the ghostwriting stuff came out like, so the machine is constantly adapting. When you let off, it lets off. When you push, it pushes.
Right.
And then to your point, it's like you walk away and it's just moving. And like, so there's a disconnect here.
Right. It's doing its thing and I'm not even on the machine. Right. So yeah, how does that work?
So you go back in time, you're at this moment at a table like we are right now saying, should we even call this adaptive resistance?
Right. Do we need to change the name? And then I had like shower thoughts, like something struck me. It was, I started, as I often do, by analogy, like imagine a thermos. A thermos, that's the old joke. It keeps the hot stuff hot, keeps the cold stuff cold. How does it know? And the joke is funny because we all know there's no algorithm, there's no computer chips, it's just a cylinder of metal. But the nature of it, you could call it an adaptive temperature technology. The entropy that would normally happen to a hot or cold liquid to return it to room temperature, that entropy proceeds more slowly because of this adaptive temperature technology. Keeps the hot stuff hot, cold stuff cold. Now, we all know it doesn't do anything. It's just a cylinder, right? The Earth, you go stand in a field. Let's say you weigh 200 pounds. You're weighing 200 pounds downwards on the Earth. The Earth is pushing up with exactly 200 pounds. That's why you don't sink and you're not floating. Mm-hmm. If you jump and land for a brief moment, your body will absorb a couple times your body weight, and the Earth will push up with 2-3 times your body weight, depending on how high you jumped. So the Earth is an adaptive resistance technology, technically. It's not technology because none of us, it's not man-made, but it's just the Earth, and that's its nature. So with those two things, we can apply to this. The machine isn't adapting in the same way that the thermos isn't adapting. The Earth isn't adapting, but the machine that's isokinetic provides adaptive resistance. Mm-hmm. It's the resistance that's adaptive. That's why we have lines go up and down on the screen.
Right.
If it doesn't adapt, that's what I said to the fellas. Like, if this doesn't adapt, then what's with the, how come it feels heavier when I push harder?
Yeah.
What's adapt? What's moving? What's changing? If it doesn't adapt, you know what doesn't adapt? A barbell. Right. A barbell is what doesn't adapt. It adapts with the speed, but not the resistance. Harder I push, faster it moves, but the resistance is the same up and down. So the idea is it's the machine that does not adapt, but the machine, it's crucial that it does not adapt, because it's only when it does not care about what you do to it, it's going to continue at the constant velocity, that it can then provide the adaptive resistance that we use to deliver the stimulus.
So that it's that, it's the balance there, that because of the fact that it's isokinetic and it doesn't adapt,
right?
That's the same exact reason that the exercise itself is adaptive.
Correct.
Meaning an adaptive stimulus.
Yeah. Yeah. So the resistance. And so the conclusion we reached over a decade ago is like, we didn't say adaptive machine exercise, and that's our company name. We didn't say adaptive robotics. We said adaptive resistance,
right,
which is true. And so we got to keep the name. Great.
I love it.
And so same thing with us. And we've sent out the memo, you know, to all marketing and all trainers and everyone who's talking about this technology. We don't want to give the false impression that this machine has some technology in it that allows it to adapt to the user, because that is not true. The machine purposely, crucially, does not adapt to the user. It's just inexorable. It cannot be stopped, cannot be altered, which allows it to provide the resistance that then is suited for every person, every time, no matter what.
Yeah. And we were talking about this a little bit last night over dinner. And so we'll talk about it a little bit in the next episode. But that part is key. There's a lot of research out there that's done on gravity weights. And research comes out in this direction, in that direction, and every other direction. And at the end of the studies and at the end of the big outcome and the big ahas that everybody's having in all their different fields and arguments, you in particular and myself end up going, yeah, great, but what about isokinetics? Because there's not really much research on isokinetics.
Yeah, and in my head, whenever I see research on strength training, I'll read the abstract or I'll read the method, and then any conclusions that come from it in my head afterwards, I go, with weights.
Right. Right.
So this many sets is best. Yeah, with weights. And this much volume is what's needed. Well, with weights.
Right.
This, it's, so any claim that's made on any YouTube video you see and your favorite research analyzer, they say something, and I always just say, yeah, with weights, you're right. Yeah.
So this is probably a dumb analogy. We'll talk about this at some point in the future, but it's almost like, this might not be fair, but it'd almost be like, here's all the research we have on peptides, and then you are talking about hormones, and you're like, right. Okay, well, how do you just carry that right over to something that, yes, they're both messengers, okay, fine, but at the same time, they're so different, you can't put them in the same bundle.
Right, you know? Right, yeah.
Well, that's a good tee up for the next episode. We're going to talk bit about more about this.
Next time on
Jim and Kyle. We're back.
We're back, folks.
Taking a break from functional medicine and getting back into what we actually know about, which is exercise.
Correct.
So, man, it's good to see you. I'm excited about these.
Hey, good to be seen. It's going to be fun.
All right, man. See you soon.
Cheers.
Thanks for tuning in to the Fast Fit Podcast. We hope you found today's episode inspiring and actionable. If you're ready to take the next step in your fitness journey, visit us at fastfit.com for more resources or follow us on Facebook, Instagram, or YouTube. Don't forget to subscribe, leave a review, and share this episode with someone who could benefit. Together, let's make exercise simple, empowering, and a part of a life well-lived. See you next time.